I thank the Lord for allowing me to be here this morning. I'd like to just switch the order of a couple of things on the program and just ask Pastor Peterson if he would, in a moment, do the scripture reading that would be appropriate for his message today, and also the pastoral prayer again for our assembly. And remember, let's keep praying for Ben Howison over there in Iraq. There are many here that have physical difficulties, spiritual needs, and all of that. So please remember those things in our prayers as well. As far as announcements, I'd like to do those just now before we go any farther. I'd like to encourage you folks that have children, if you can, tonight, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday evening, to participate in the Vacation Bible School over at Faithway Baptist Church. It starts this evening at 6 o'clock, and we've partnered with them to have a Bible school together this summer. And so I just want to encourage you to do that if it is at all possible, just to be for your children, of course, and also to be an encouragement there to the ministry at, with Pastor Phillips and the brethren and sisters at Faithway Baptist Church. We had a council meeting yesterday, and we'd like to have a business meeting with the members of the church. And I'd like to also encourage you, if you're a regular attender here or going to be a member soon as we're going through that process, that you will come for that meeting as well. It will be in 2 weeks from today on the 3rd of September. We have a number of important issues to cover. Let me just tell you what they are briefly so that you know. One is about the sale of a property that we were given by Mrs. Pinero. We've thought long and hard about what we're going to do with that property, and we'd like to speak with the folks about that matter. And in conjunction with that, to ask the congregation to give us kind of a pre-approval, if you will, for going ahead and looking for a parsonage or building one. But in any case, that pre-approval would be helpful so that you folks aren't surprised when we come and say, here, let's buy this. We'll talk about it a little bit and answer any questions that you may have about the direction and why and what the need is and all of that sort of thing. And then we have one other very important item to talk about, and because some misinformation has been going around about the transition from Dr. Sachs's ministry to my ministry, we will address that head-on in the meeting. We want to make sure that folks know about our relationship with the Sachs's and with the ministry here, and so we will talk about that. It's a very difficult subject to talk about, but too much misinformation has been going around, so we'll straighten that out forthwith and make sure everybody is on the same page, okay? We are believers, and we can handle these difficult issues straightforwardly, and we plan to do that. So appreciate your prayers about that meeting 2 weeks from today. And keep that matter in prayer. If you have any questions at all, don't hesitate to talk to either myself or Brother Bill Smith or Brother James Widgen. We all are on the same page and know about all these business matters. So I'd like to just ask you to do that. Just a few weeks from now, we're going to have, well, maybe I should say before that, on September 10th, we're going to have our first potluck of the fall. It's the second Sunday, make note of that, because the students don't come back until like the 5th. So we want to make sure the students are in town and have our student welcome potluck on September 10th. So be ready for that. Just 3 days later, Awana will start on September 13th. And so get ready to gear up for that ministry. We're looking forward to that and having some impact there with the children. Also, I should have said before, in conjunction with the campus ministry, I'd like to have a real big push with some of us going out onto the campus to contact students on September 1st and 2nd. That's the Friday and a Saturday kind of move-in time for the students. And I hope to be able to have several pairs of people to go out and to give invitations, put up flyers, talk to people, and all that sort of thing so we can make folks aware of our assembly. Many folks have told us in the past, I never knew that Fellowship Bible Church even existed, or I just found out about it. Well, it has been here for a while. We are in our 26th year now. We just, in July, completed 25 years of ministry, so it's not exactly the case that we just started. So, and also keep in mind, Pastor Matham will be here on September 19th and 20th to have special meetings with us on that Tuesday and on that Wednesday evening. Okay, I'll hold the announcements right there and ask Pastor Peterson if he'll come and read and have another prayer for us. And then immediately after he's done, we'll have the men take up the offering. Okay, thank you.
Good morning. Glad to be with you today. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 6 through 13. 1 Corinthians 10, 6. Now these things were for our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, meaning Israel, neither be idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no testing or temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you shall be able to bear it. My apology for not having a stand while we read the scripture, but let us stand together as we look to the Lord in prayer. Lord, the Apostle Paul went through many troubles and trials, so he can write from experience, there is no trial taken you but which is common to man. Christians are not excluded. We have trials and difficulties, the cares of this world. But we trust, Lord, that we have discovered a place where we can bring them to a God who cares, who loves us above that which we can ask or think. Loved us so much even while we were sinners that he sent Christ, the perfect one, to die for our sin. May we never get over the momentousness of that fact and that occasion when he hung upon a cross for us, forsaken by God the Father the first time in all eternity, because he had become sin for me, for us. And thank you, Lord, that we've ever been able to put our faith and trust in him. There's some question, but perhaps even the faith that we profess we have in Christ came from God Himself. So there's nothing about eternal salvation that we can claim as something to be proud of ourselves. We just thank You for all You've done. Thank You for this church and the 25 years it has stood for the truth of the Word of God, for the pastors that Thou hast given to lead. We ask of Thee, Lord, to do mighty things through the Word of God. You tell us Your Word will not return unto You void. We believe, Lord, that not only the Word today all over the world, but the Word that has been known and heard for so long a time will bear fruit unto the glory of God. Pray for the world situation, so tenuous, so unnerving sometimes. And the only place we can go with all of this is to the Lord, who has a great master plan. And He knows how Israel and the Lebanese and the Gaza people and the Iraqis and Iran and North Korea and Syria and all of those people, how they fit into His program. We may not understand it all ourselves at this time, but one day we will, and we'll understand what part we could have or did have in propagating the gospel to Ann Arbor and to the uttermost parts of the world. Bless the missionaries as they minister today. Lord, they would love to be home with family, but we thank You, Lord, that they're out there doing the work so that there might be many more added to the family of God, perhaps the last one before Jesus comes for His saints. Take care for the operation of the Church of the Lord Jesus here. Cause, Lord, that this thrust to the campus will be blessed of God in a marvelous way, and that the testimony of the gospel of the Lord Jesus You would honor in a marvelous way here in this location in Ann Arbor for the glory of the Savior. We love You, Lord, because You first of all loved us, and You do love us, and You love us so much that even with all our failures, You are coming to take us to be with Yourself. We praise Your name today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Only regal is all past.
Once in a while in our ministry, this happens. Yesterday, when I got home from the prison camp at about 3 o'clock, often the fellows in the car with me will say, "Are you ministering any place tomorrow?" And I said, "No, the Lord's giving me a day off tomorrow." And one of them said, "A day off as far as you know now." This is not the first time this has happened, and we're just glad for an opportunity. I simply want to say this is the same old preacher, with the same old suit, and the same old tie, and the same old gospel. And this is going to be simple today. You may want to take down some references. I will not turn to every one of them, but you may wish that you had them later. So someplace, find a place where you can jot them down. I sense from Pastor Posta's remarks that there are some cares in regard to the assembly of believers here. Should we have cares? Should we have burdens? Someone said, "Oh, a Christian shouldn't have cares." How about that? Our text today is in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. Just one verse, and then we'll go elsewhere in the Scriptures. 1 Peter 5, 7. 1 Peter 5, 7. My wife says, "Repeat it 2 or 3 times." "Casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you." Now, Peter's not saying that a Christian shouldn't have cares, but that he has one to whom we may bring them, whatever they are and wherever we are. I want to look at 3 things today. Christians do have cares or burdens. Secondly, God cares for us. Praise God for that. And thirdly, we may cast our cares upon Him. First of all, Christians do have cares, regardless of what some of the hymns say. Would you put up with a little song from me? "I'm living on the mountain underneath the cloudless sky. I'm drinking at the fountain that never shall run dry. Oh yes, I'm feasting on the manna from the bountiful supply, for I am dwelling in Beulah land." Nice song, isn't it? Is it entirely true? Are you always there? I'm not. I'm not. And then that little chorus that the kids like to sing, and they like to sing it rapidly. It goes like this. "I'm in, right out, right up, right down, right happy all the time. I'm in, right out, right up, right down, right happy all the time. Since Jesus Christ came in and cleansed my heart from sin. I'm in, right out, right up, right down, right happy all the time." Is that true? No. So, we're happy with the authors of Scripture, songs, and hymns, but please, we don't get our theology from that. Sometimes it isn't quite correct. Dr. Sugden, the longtime pastor of South Baptist Church in Lansing, now with the Lord, said, "When I was first saved, I had joy and I had happiness. And I just felt literally leaning on the everlasting arms until one morning I woke up and those everlasting arms didn't seem to be there anymore." We get our theology from the Word, do we not? You can write these down. 1 Peter, as long as we're there, we'll look at some verses in 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1:6. "Wherein we greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, we are in heaviness through manifold testings or tribulations." We may not be on top every day and every hour. Chapter 2 and verse 12. Having your behavior, your lifestyle, honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, it's come out of a burden, isn't it? We should care about what people think of us. And sometimes they think wrong things about us. Chapter 2 and verse 18. Servants, be subject to your masters, your bosses, with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward or the crooked or the burdensome. It is a care for some people to go to work. They don't want to quit their job. They need the job. But to work under that kind of a boss is a burden. It's a real care. Chapter 3 and verse 17. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye what? Suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Suffering is a part of the Christian experience sometimes. Chapter 4 and verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Verse 13, talking about partakers of Christ's sufferings. Verse 14, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ. They're all things that concern us and may put a heavy burden of care upon us. In verse 8 of chapter 5, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Is that a care to us? I'm afraid we're not aware enough of what Satan is doing among Christians and in churches and in his work throughout the world and on the mission field. We are human beings with bodies and souls, and there are some cares that go along with being human beings. Family cares, friends. Scripture says, bear ye one another's burdens. Church cares. Paul said, beside all these other burdens I have, the what? The care of all the churches. And Paul said in Romans 7:24, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He's loaded with cares, but he knew where to take them. In fact, he as much as said, I'm the biggest care I have. He said, the things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, I do. Who shall deliver me from this whole situation? And then, on the other hand, we see our unsaved neighbor or friend. He's happy-go-lucky, has plenty of money, doesn't have to fix the plumbing or repair the roof. He just hires it done. But, dear ones, today, he has cares we know nothing about. Behind that smile and that laughter may be a broken heart and a bankrupt spirit. Now, secondly, God cares for us. Now, there were some people, even in the Bible, who thought God, at a particular point in their life, did not care any longer. Job 31:2, Job says, what portion of God is there from above? I don't hear from them. Things are going wrong. What portion of God is there from above? God, at that juncture, didn't seem to care about Job and his three friends, as we say, with friends like they were, who needs enemies. They came along and said, you've done some miserable sin, Job. That's why all of this has come upon you. David in Psalm 22:1-2 cried out, and this applied primarily to David himself. This is how he felt, even though it was messianic in regard to the Lord Jesus. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Said David. Jeremiah labored and prophesied to a disobedient Judah, faithfully serving the Lord in that way, and thought his labors were all in vain because Judah did not turn back to the Lord. Remember Martha and Mary? Jesus came to their home to spend a few hours or a couple of days maybe. And of course they wanted things nice for the Lord Jesus and his disciples. So there were cleaning to do and meals to make and things like that. And Mary left Martha, went over and sat at Jesus' feet and just drank in the good things of everlasting life from him. And Martha was all encumbered with all of this preparation. What'd she say? She came to the Lord and said, Lord, don't you care? Well, there's that word again. Don't you care that Mary has left me to do all this service? Remember the story of the apostles when they got into the boat with Jesus? Went out and a big storm came up. I know the Lord knew that was going to happen. And he had so committed himself to his heavenly Father, he was asleep in the back of the ship. What did the disciples do? They bailed and they did all they could. But then they came fearful and full of care and said, Lord, don't you care that we perish? We have financial difficulties, physical illness, maybe family problems. And if we're really honest with our own hearts, maybe silently, if not verbally, say, Lord, don't you care? Don't you care? And Satan will come along and suggest as well, hey, God doesn't care. I think about Eve back in Genesis 3. Satan is, in his conversation there, said as much as saying, if God really cared for you, Eve, he would let you eat of every tree of the garden. Why does he restrict you? Turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. We'll look in some scripture. 1 Kings 19. 1 Kings 19. This is right after that tremendous victory that Elijah had over the prophets of Baal. You recall the story. And within hours, if not days afterwards, Ahab told Jezebel, his wife, the queen, all that Elijah had done, with all how he had slain all the prophets with a sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow, about this time, I'm going to have your neck. When he saw that, Elijah arose, went for his life, came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. Boy, did he have care. He had troubles. He had difficulties. And at that point, he's thinking, maybe God doesn't care. I'd just soon be gone. I'd just soon be with him than to put up with these things I have in my life here. But God promises that he does care, does he not? 1 Peter 5:7 again, our verse for today. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. He cares about every unsaved soul in this world. He proved that, according to John 3:16, God so loved the world in all its sin that he gave his only begotten, his unique, perfect Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And God cares for the church as well. He tells those in the scripture, feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Cares for individual Christians as well. 1 Peter 5:7 again, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Galatians 2:20, he's the one who loved me and what? Gave himself for me. Can anyone say Jesus doesn't care for an unsaved world or for us as well? Turn to John chapter 10. We've been teaching this in the prison camp. John chapter 10, verse 11. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd not only cares for his sheep, but he gives his life for his sheep. Verse 14 and 15. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known of mine. Verse 27 to 29. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never in any wise perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Can anyone say God doesn't care? Oh, we may have difficulties and trials, but God does care. He promises that. I'd like to read an article that I picked up some time ago about God's care, even when we're not aware of it. This is by Milton Cohut, at that time supervisor of media relations with World Vision Mission. It was Wednesday evening in New York. I was at LaGuardia Airport, planning to fly to Chicago first, and from Chicago to L.A., my home. Two more days, I thought wearily, as I waited for the airline terminal. Two more days, I've been gone a while, I want to be home, I want to be with my family. The 7 p.m. departure time had come and gone. There was no sign of our plane. The electronic message board simply said, delayed. Some of you know about that. Our flight was to originate in Montreal. The airline's clerk, badgered by continuous demands from the waiting passengers, didn't know where the plane was. Finally, at 9 p.m., he announced that our flight had been diverted from LaGuardia Airport to Kennedy Airport. Then at 9:30, what we had all feared was confirmed. The announcement was made that the flight was canceled. He's stuck in New York. Disgust, anger, urgent demands from the passengers were directed at that lone airline clerk. What do we do? Where can we go? Will the airlines pay for our hotel? How soon can I get another flight? All other flights were booked solid. Couldn't get on those. I was jammed against the ticket counter, hearing the abuse that was mounted against the airline's clerk. And I said, I think he's doing a remarkable job under the circumstances. A lady standing next to me snorted in response. Then I said to the clerk, can you reroute me directly to L.A. without going to Chicago? Perhaps he had heard my brief comment of support for him. I don't know. But he punched a few buttons on his computer. Within seconds, he turned to me. I can confirm you on a flight out of Kennedy at 9 tomorrow morning. This was bypassing Chicago. I nodded a thanks to him and found out what I could do while I was waiting. It was 10 p.m., 11 hours later, when I climbed aboard a 747 jumbo jet and flew safely home to Los Angeles. At home, I was still groggy from lack of sleep and the recent long night of waiting in New York, and I was listening to the radio when a news bulletin interrupted normal programming. American Airlines Flight 191 from Chicago had crashed shortly after takeoff. Maybe some of you remember that. I do. all 274 passengers were killed. I could feel my pulse race as I rushed to my attaché case and found my ticket, the one I didn't use to go to Chicago, It indicated American Airlines Flight 191 O'Hare to Los Angeles, May 25th. I was quiet for a long moment before sinking to my knees. Dear Lord, I prayed, thank you for canceling my flight to Chicago. Thank you for causing me to speak in defense of that airline clerk. Thank you for your love and protection and care. Thank you for sparing my life. Had he gone according to schedule, he'd have been on that plane that crashed. Does God care for his own? Very, very much so. Thirdly, we may cast our care upon him. Matthew 11, 28 to 30 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. I will give you rest. 1 Peter 5, 7 again, casting all your care upon him. The Greek really means take all your care as one burden and just unload it on the Lord and leave it there. Now, so often we say, I bring this to you, Lord, but after a couple hours, we're pulling it back and worrying over it again. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Now, secondly, what does God do? That's what he wants us to do. Lay it all on him. What does God want us to do? Four things he wants us to do. First of all, he gives us courage to face them. These are things God will do for us. He gives us courage to face them. Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. We look at the circumstances, we may get afraid. We look at others, we may be afraid for them. We look at ourselves and we become afraid. God says, look unto me and be not afraid. Sometimes it's the easiest thing in the world to quit. I remember in Wheaton College, every year my 4 years there, President B. Raymond Edmond, president at that time, he always had a sermon about midway in the fall semester, right when, especially for the freshmen, you know, who were going from that easy deal they had in high school to real stuff in college. And they were getting, man, should I be here? I can't handle all of this. And he always had a sermon, though the text was different, always had a sermon entitled, It's Always Too Soon to Quit. Always too soon to quit, especially when you're in the Lord's work. Paul in the book of Acts had tremendous problems, all kinds of difficulties. He had to leave cities over the wall. They took up stones to stone him, and they actually did stone him, got into the terrible storm in the Mediterranean Sea. And in Acts chapter 27, I'll flip over there, Acts 27, verse 24. This is on the trip where they had all the storm going on, Acts 27, 21. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened to me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. Now I exhort you to be of good cheer. Wow, they've been days and days and days in the storm. He says, hey, cheer up, guys. Be of good cheer, where there shall no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. And there stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, what? Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar. This is all in God's master plan. Fear not, Paul. I'm with you. I'm going to see to it you get to Rome. And what a ministry you'll have in Rome. God gives courage to face the problems. Secondly, he gives wisdom to understand them. He gives wisdom to understand them. James 1:5 says, if any man lack wisdom, what? Let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Gives to all of us. Ask him, Lord, what part are these cares and these burdens and difficulties playing in your plan for me? A lady in church one time was there, though she had a ton of difficulties. Trying times at home, financial problems, illness. At the door of the church after the sermon, she greeted the pastor and he was greeting them. And he kindly said to her as she left, my dear, I'm praying for you. And she asked him, well, what are you praying about? What are you praying about? Well, he's kind of taken aback. He said, well, I've been praying that God will give you mercy and grace to be able to go through these trials. And she said, Pastor, thank you for praying that, but pray something else as well. Pray that God will give me wisdom so I'll be wise enough not to waste all this trial that I'm going through. I want to learn something from it. Isn't that great? No, I argue, Lord, take this all away. Can't handle this. Take it all away. Not how? What can I learn from this difficulty that I'm going through? Thirdly, the thing that God gives is strength to bear them. Philippians chapter 4, 12 and 13. Philippians 4, 12 and 13. Not that I, Paul is saying here to the Philippians, not that I speak in respect to want, for I have learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry. He had some needs, both to abound and to suffer need. Now, great verse, verse 13. Let's all say it together. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He gives the strength to bear the burdens that we may have. Another version has it, I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Don't be self-sufficient on your own. That will fail. But in Christ's sufficiency. Dr. Warren Wiersbe, and you might want to jot this down sometime, said in my hearing one time years ago, God cannot give too many blessings in our hands and arms for fear we'll fall flat on our faces. So he gives us burdens for our backs to keep us balanced. Isn't that great? See these things, oh, great things, you know, and we just topple over. There's so much of it. They put something on our backs to keep us upright and to keep us balanced. Some burdens God intends us to bear to keep us humble and trusting and strong and prayerful. You know my voice. Thank God it's been great recently. But I think it was a burden God gave me to keep me trusting, keep me praying. I pray every time I speak, Lord, give me a good voice. And this helps. Fourthly, God gives us faith to commit these problems to him. Psalm 37:5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. The Hebrew word rapha means, for the word to be still, slack off, let go, and let God. Commit it to the Lord. So when we have committed our way to the Lord and our care to the Lord who sought wisdom and strength to understand and face them, then just get your hands off and leave the rest to Him. A little girl and her mother were in an automobile accident. Both of them were injured. The mother was injured to the point where she needed to be in bed for a few days. The only bedroom they had was upstairs, and so she was upstairs in bed. The little girl had a broken leg, had a cast on it, a walking cast. Now, the little girl wanted to encourage her mom, and she thought, I'd like to take some flowers to mom. So she got some flowers from outside and put them in a vase. But then she faced a problem. How am I going to get up the stairs, much less get up the stairs with a vase of flowers in my hand? So she said to her dad, Lord, Dad, I want to take some flowers to mom. He said, well, honey, you can't get up those stairs, especially with a vase of flowers in your hand. And he said, well, I'll take them up for you. I'll tell her that you picked them and you want her to have them. No, I want to take them up to mom. So they were at impasse. Finally, the father said, I have it, honey. I have it. You carry the flowers and I'll carry you. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Amen? Amen. Number 530. 530.